Thank you guys so much. It is so nice to have the talent to be able to step in when one is down, to be able to kind of pick up, and we don't lose quality of worship, being able to do that. I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Okay, pick a neighbor to turn to, because this gets confusing when you do this, because you turn to your neighbor and they're already turning to someone else. All right, pick a neighbor to turn to, look at them, make eye contact. All right, I want one of you to say to the other one, "Dude, I just worship the creator of the universe." Now, I want the person who just got spoken to, I want you to turn to that, the other person and say, "Dude, I did too." That song, I think sometimes we forget who we're singing to. Amazing love that our God came down and he gave his son for us. He sent his son. And he died for our sins. And he was buried. He was dead. And then by the power of God, he rose him from the dead. That's the gospel story. Sharing Christ with others. Sharing this story that I just shared with you. That's what God's people do. That's what we do. That's our job. That is our key responsibility as Christians, as blood-bought sinning humans. That's our job, is to share that message, the saving message, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our job, to take that message that has impacted our lives and share it with others. That simple message, that God gave his son to die for us, that he was buried, that he rose again by the power of God, and because of that event, because of what God gave, I gave my life. And I am forever changed and daily transformed to be more like him. That's our message. Am I getting it? I mean, you got to keep me in check too, okay? I'm fallible. Am I getting it? Is that it? You guys don't look so sure. So maybe we need to refocus a little. Because if that's not it, then I'm way off base. Is that it? Is that it? Is that what it is? Is it about Christ? Is it about sharing the message? Is it about the song that we just sung? Is that what it's about? There we go. Thank you. Man, you guys are either asleep or in strong protest, or man, we need to get back to some basics here, and we need to stop talking about money. We need to start talking about the blood of Christ, and every one of you guys need to come forward and get saved again. Because if you're not feeling, if you're not getting it, if that's not the center, then we got a problem. Because that's how I understand it. That's the center. That's what it's about. And that's what it's about to be a Christian. That's what our job is. So can I have some head nods? Am I understanding it correctly? All right, I sure hope I am. I'm getting paid to understand it correctly. I went to college to understand it correctly. I study God's word to understand it correctly. I pray that I'll understand it more correctly every Sunday I come up here and share with you guys. And every day I dwell in his word. If I do understand that right, then a simple part of sharing Christ is based on what we've learned in this series called Give. And that is that the act of financial giving to support the cause of Christ in itself shares Christ with others. That act by itself, it shares Christ with others. And that's what we've been talking about these past couple weeks. I want to kind of expand on the last few weeks as we kind of review and put things into perspective, kind of put things together a little bit. In the first week of this series, we talked about how dangerous it is for us to have the attitude of entitlement. Yet there's not one among us who have escaped its poison in our lives. God has enabled us with his very strength to conquer this attitude of entitlement by learning to be content. Learning to be content no matter what the situation. Learning an attitude of contentment. And contentment stems from a humble attitude. That's a prerequisite. You have to have an humble attitude in order to gain this understanding, this learned thing called being content. And that humble attitude mimics the very attitude of Christ. This book we've been in the book of Philippians this whole series. We've been in chapter 4. I want to back up just to chapter 2 and just read something to you here about what Paul says. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he... Go on, read that for me nice and loud. Humbled himself and became what? Obedient. Those two words go hand in hand. Being humble and obeying. He humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Christ humbled himself and he gave. Give. Our simple one word title for this series. Jesus didn't hang on to an attitude of entitlement while he was here on earth. He was humble as he gave. Because was he entitled to rule the earth while he was here? You bet he was. You bet he was. He made the earth. He was the maker of the earth and all of the inhabitants. They were made in his image. And he was here among them. He had every right to rule the earth. He had every right to claim his kingship, his lordship. But did he? No, he didn't come with an attitude of entitlement. He came with an attitude of humility. Was Christ entitled to call down angels who were his servants and also his creation to come and just, I mean, we'll use a biblical word since we're talking about Bible stories, and smite. He smoted. Okay, I just made that one up. That's modern day biblical terminology. There's Greek in there somewhere. Anyway, was he entitled to call down angels while he was hanging naked on the cross for our sins, being mocked and spit on by his own creation? Absolutely entitled. But did he? Did he even entertain that attitude? He was humble and obedient even to death on the cross. He came with a humble attitude, an attitude that the Bible says that we should have as well. See, the very action of giving, just the action itself, shares Christ because it models this attitude of humility. The act of financial giving in itself shares Christ with others because it models Jesus' attitude. Let's write that down. Take that home. Our generosity out of free will reflects the style of giving modeled by Jesus. You trace your salvation back to this one word, give. God gave. He gave his only son. It's give. What did you do when you decided that you wanted to give God your life? Well, you just did that. You gave it to him. It was give. Your whole relationship with God started with this one simple word and this attitude that Christ had. And just simply giving reflects and shares Christ. Because it was Jesus' attitude while he was here. And it wasn't just a one-day attitude. It was his whole life. If God's people are stingy, and we hang on to the attitude of entitlement, how are we going to convince the world that our God isn't stingy? Told you guys, we're getting real in 2011. All right. Gloves are off. How will they believe the God that we tell them about, the God that is graceful and merciful and all of these words that center around this one word, give? How are they going to believe that our God is a generous God, a giving God, if the people who claim that he has transformed into his likeness aren't that way. Am I connecting? Does this, right? Okay, because I don't feel like I am. I don't feel like it's making much sense here. If I say God got a hold of me and he changed me to make me more like him, and our God is a giving God, and I'm not a giving person, then what does that say? That's a mixed message. How are people going to get to know our God if we're not correctly representing him? We also talked about in this series about this idea of keeping it consistent, not just a one-time gift, not just one-time generosity. But if we really want to be like Jesus, if we really want to be changed into the person he is, that's the goal. We want to be more like him so that we can better share him, so that we can better represent him in the world. Then this idea of giving, simply just on a financial level, not even branching out into some of the other levels we talked about at the very end of last week's sermon, but just on a financial level, just the idea of giving financially to the cause of Christ, it follows Jesus' lifestyle pattern. It wasn't just a one-time thing that Jesus did. It wasn't one-time generosity. It was a lifestyle pattern that Jesus had. Visible, habitual giving was a staple of who Christ was as he walked on this earth. Some of you might be thinking, well, I thought our giving was supposed to be in secret. Let me help explain that a little bit. Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, because it's not about the ego. It's not about, hey, look at me, I'm giving a 20. I'm laying, oh, look at me, I got 100. I'm laying 100 in a plate. It's not about you. It's not about your gift in a public manner. Yes, your giving should be in secret. That should be something between you and God. Let's walk this out a little bit. Jesus wasn't like that, was he? He didn't stand out on the street corner and say, hey, watch this, everybody, watch this. I'm going to give something. He was humble. We don't see Jesus that way because he's not portrayed that way in the scriptures. Yet, because of the frequency and the consistency and the habitual nature of his generosity and his giving was nothing short of visible. Was it? Everywhere he went, he gave. That's why it was so visible. It wasn't visible because it was, hey, look at me. It was visible because it was who he was. Folks, when we start giving that way, you can do your best to keep it secret, but it's going to pour out of you so much that it is going to be visible, and it's going to be visible for the right reasons and not visible for the wrong reasons. Okay, we're getting into some stuff, and we're really moving around, and I'm praying that God's ability through me is going to be crystal clear to you this morning, because some of these are difficult concepts, in my opinion. I'm trying to make them as simple and plain as is this. Yes, stick with me, because I need some feedback this morning. I need some encouragement that things are, you're flowing with me. Okay, we're there. Okay. So when I'm giving and it's a lifestyle of giving that follows the lifestyle that Christ had, then it's going to be visible not because it's about me, but it's going to be visible because I'm going to simply not be able to hide it, because it's who I am. It's what I'm doing. And that's what Jesus was like. That's what we want to be like. That's what I want to be like. Just be like Jesus. And if he gave so much that it was visible because he couldn't hide it, then by all means, allow my giving to be visible for that reason. The act of financial giving to support the cause of Christ, it shares Christ with others, and this is just straight logic, because it simply helps to make ministry happen. When you give financially for the cause of Christ, it helps to make ministry happen. Your financial giving allows for more ministry opportunities because there's resources to fund them. We talked about this last week. It's that simple. It's that simple. In the days of the general store, the store manager, the storekeeper, and I'm talking general store. We're talking like gas station sized places that were like Walmart. They just had everything you needed. But at that time, there wasn't so much variety. So you could have everything you needed in the little bitty store instead of what we think we need. And he became a master of being able to measure fabric with his arm just so he could get it done quick. So he'd measure out the fabric, and he'd use the length of his arm to measure out, you know, the yards of fabric. General arm is about 18 inches, so if you're right there in the median, two arm lengths, there you go. So he would do that, but if there was an issue where his measuring was questioned, then the seller, or the buyer rather, could request that it would be measured precisely. And what they would do is they would stretch the fabric out on the countertop, and the countertop had two brass tacks that were exactly a yard apart. And so they would measure out the fabric according to these brass tacks. And the issue was settled by getting down to those two brass tacks. They were a clear measuring tool. It was about the facts. And there was no dispute about it. That's where that term comes from. Let's get down to the brass tacks. That's what this series has been about. Go back. I encourage you to find some of the other series I've spoken about finances and money. And there's a lot. There's a different ambiance to those messages. This one, it's just the brass tacks, people. I'm just getting real with you. I'm just talking with you about a subject that needs to be talked about. And you're thinking, well, we're in church. We shouldn't be talking about money. Well, why not? Money's close and dear to our heart. We deal with money every day of our lives. Why shouldn't we be talking about money in church? You know, so we're just getting down to the brass tacks, the facts. And the facts are that giving for the cause of Christ does what our primary job is as Christians, and that is it shares Christ in these various ways that we've talked about so far this series. It helps forward the gospel simply by the act of giving and practice and becoming a generous person. It shares Christ through your attitude, through your lifestyle that is formed through that. It shares Christ because it simply helps ministry. It helps to make ministry happen. And that's what we're responsible for, is sharing Christ. So some of you have undoubtedly seen the top of your bulletins, and you might have a question. What is this idea of credit score? Where is this coming from? Why is this part of our bulletin notes here? And we've got the big part here that our credit score increases in each gift, a little subheading under our topic today of giving. Well, a credit score in an earthly sense of mind is a measure of credit risk calculated from a credit report using a number of different factors in our credit history that either strengthen or damage your credit worthiness. Okay? So it's stuff that you've done in the past to prove whether you're credit worthy to get more credit. How does this translate into our spiritual lives? What's Dusty talking about with the spiritual credit score? Let's translate this over a little bit. We have been entrusted with the message of the gospel of Christ. Every one of us who have received Christ, we are then entrusted with that message. How much credit worthiness would you have based on how you've handled your responsibility of this message in the past? Would it strengthen or damage your credit worthiness to carry such a message? What is your spiritual credit score? Now, if we haven't gotten personal yet in this series, it's about to get personal. And if you think it's already gotten personal, it's going to get more personal. Just getting real. I'm just sharing with you. Let's take a step forward. Let's make it personal. Let's have some thoughts on our personal credit score. Our history of being generous and giving represents a foundation for our credit worthiness. So far in the series, we've been walking through Philippians chapter 4. I encourage you to go and turn there with me if you want to follow along. Philippians chapter 4, a lot of you who have been here, you've got it bookmarked. You're there already. Good students. If you're just joining us, just open your Bibles to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, then slow down. You got four little books right there together, and it's the third of those four. So you got Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians. Okay, Colossians is the next one over. So Philippians chapter 4. Now, as we started in this series, the very first week, verses 10 through 13, Paul says that he knows what it's like to be in need. He knows what it's like to have plenty. And through the strength of Christ, he has learned to be content no matter what his circumstance. That was the first section of scripture that we talked about, and we just ran with it. So then the second week, We jumped into verses 14 through 16 where Paul says, even though I've learned to be content no matter what, it was still really good that you gave, talking to the Philippians. It was still really good that you gave. And not only this time, but he goes through and he shows that there's a track record. There's a history of their giving, that their generosity was something that was habitual. And Paul says, that's great that you are that way. Even though I've learned to be content, it's still better to have than to be in need. Even though I've learned to be content no matter which way it goes. It was still good of you to give. It was good of you to give when you did, it encouraged me. It was good of you to give in the past, it encouraged me. It was good of you to give this present gift, it encouraged me. And then Paul says this because he wants to make sure that he's not being misunderstood. Verse 17, when we pick up today, he says, not that I'm looking for a gift, okay? He's saying, I'm not complimenting you about giving because I'm sly trying to, you know, oh, it's so great to get a gift. You know, come on, fork it over. He says, no, that's not the case. I'm really just encouraging you. I'm really just thanking you. And in fact, what we're going to get to at the very end of this message, that to conclude our whole series, is really what I think Paul's point is when he's walking through this. He's got all these little subpoints that are just golden nuggets. And then we got this big pot of gold here at the very end of this book. He says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. And that's where the Spirit kind of worked with me and my creative mind that God gave me, and I saw credit score. I want you to have something that's a credit to your account. I want you to build your credit score. I want you to understand that your activity in the past, for the Philippians, because of the way they've acted, it has built a credit score for them, a credit worthiness of their participation in the kingdom. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Paul says that their gift, it built up their credit score. Now, this is not a way of earning salvation. I want to make sure that I'm very clear. Do not misunderstand me. Definitely do not misunderstand Paul and the scriptures on this subject. Paul is writing to the Philippian church. They are Christians. They have already been bought. They've already received the free gift of salvation. Salvation is for those who have received by grace through faith this free gift that Jesus Christ gives to us. Salvation is not bought or paid for by us. We do not earn it. Am I crystal clear on that? He's speaking to those who have already received the free gift of salvation, saying that, what are you doing in response to what you've received? Okay? It's not a buyout. It's not an earning salvation. It's not an earning a spot in heaven. You don't give a penny. You give, you know, 90% of all you got the rest of your life. If you're saved, you're still going to go to heaven. Praise God. But the issue is Paul's sharing with them, hey, you're building up a credit score, a credit worthiness of your responsibility to do something with what you received freely. That's a tough one. Am I getting that? Is that okay? Because I got it up here. It makes sense here. I want to make sure it makes sense here. We are responsible for helping make ministry happen, for forwarding the gospel message of Christ to others. Their action, the Philippians' action of giving, was credited to them as being part of that action. It was credited to them as being kingdom work, not just financial giving. Paul says that their gift, because of their gift, he received full payment and even more. Whatever they sent supplied Paul with more than enough than he needed. It was over and above. It was in abundance. So let's reflect on that in a personal manner, and let's ask ourselves, would my personal giving merit a credit score from my recipients like this? Just being real. I think these are real questions we need to ask. If I were giving to Paul what I give on an average Sunday, if Paul were receiving what I was giving, would he write these very same words to me? Just getting real. There's another little nugget here. Verse 18, I want to reread the first part of verse 18 here with you. I want us to make sure we don't miss this. He says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts, what? You sent. All right, we read over that, and that's so easy to read over that. You sent. These gifts didn't come out of nowhere. It just wasn't, whoa, thank you. They were sent from somebody. The gifts you sent, someone had to send the gifts. They didn't just appear. We are God's instruments for giving. We are. You look in Scripture, God loves to give through His people. He loves to do it. He likes to involve us in His giving. Because He knows what a joy it is to give. He wants us to be included in giving. Is God giving through you? Better question, more accurate question. Are you letting God give through you? Based on these four little words, the gifts you sent, we need to acknowledge something. We need to acknowledge this just like we're non-givers anonymous or something and just say, I am responsible for what I give or hold back. Therefore, my credit score is just that. It's mine. We need to get real and acknowledge on just a super logical level, if money is going to make ministry happen in certain areas, someone is going to give it. I am responsible for my part. It comes from somewhere. God's going to use someone. Is it going to be you? The choice is yours, to give it or to keep it. Now, we all know that it all belongs to God anyway. But He gives us the free will to choose if we're going to be stingy or if we're going to be generous. Make the right choice, Christians. Let's finish up, and here's the good stuff. Here's the really good stuff. Verse 18, the second half of it. He talks about these gifts you sent. They were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, these gifts they gave were not just a way of making ministry happen. Though they accomplished that goal, ministry happened because of it, that wasn't just why they were given or just the importance of what happened when they were given. It was so much bigger than that. There was a bigger part to it. There was a bigger reason that these gifts were exciting. Paul was indeed blessed by these gifts. But that wasn't the biggest part either. That wasn't the most exciting part either. Their history of giving represented generosity, which represented a lifestyle of Christ, and it modeled Jesus' attitude. And their pattern of giving was that which a Christian should have. But even that wasn't the greatest part. Even that wasn't the most exciting part. See, the biggest part was that their gift to Paul to support the cause of Christ, to forward the gospel message, wasn't just an earthly gift to an earthly recipient. If you haven't heard a word I said, please listen to that one more time. It wasn't just an earthly gift to an earthly recipient. Tune back in if you tuned out sometime. He says it was a fragrant offering. An acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When we allow God to conquer the attitude of entitlement in our hearts by teaching us how to be content, no matter what our circumstances, when we choose a generous lifestyle that makes giving a habit, when we take the responsibility to give over and above what is needed, then the credit score that we are building is something greater than what we might see on an earthly level. See, when I do that, the credit score I'm really building is a smile on God's face. And that's the big part. That's what we should be excited about. That's the kind of credit worthiness that I want. To see God pleased with my life, with my response to His free gift of salvation. To return to God something that would be seen as an appreciation for all that He is, all that He has done. and to know that I can simply give of my finances, and to God it's viewed as an acceptable sacrifice, a fragrant offering, pleasing to God. That when I give, it is credited to my account as worship. That's a good reason to give. That's a very good reason to give.